First, you all have your Bibles while we're looking at this time from the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Now, I count this a privilege to come right into your home and to visit with you, and if any possible way I can be a help to you, I want to be a help to you. And if there's some way that I can further help you, I'd appreciate you calling me and letting me know. And I'm here, Lord, here for the work of the Lord, and I'm your servant for Christ's sake. So you try. And if there's some way and some scripture that seems to be bothering you and you have some difficulty in knowing what it means, you just feel free to call us. Now, I don't say that I know everything from the Word, but I do know how to be saved. And I can sit down like Philip of old and show you from the Bible how you can be saved and know it. Chapter 9 of the Acts of the Apostles, and Saul yet breathed out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, and went on to the high priest, and desiring of him letters of Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound on to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling on his study, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand, and he brought him into Damascus. It was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And I seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his word. Now, last evening we looked at an anxious soul, the Prime Minister of Ethiopia, and he was journeying across the hot desert with one object in his mind, that he might know Jesus Christ and him crucified, that he might know his sins forgiven. And to think of a man in such dead earnest that he would be willing to go in a chariot pulled by horses across a hot desert, 1,000 miles, it would take days and weeks for him, and yet he went to Jerusalem, and he was returning just as empty as he went. Now, salvation is a wonderful thing. Salvation is offered to you as a free gift from God. If you really are in dead earnest, you don't need to get out of your home to get saved. You don't even need to cross the street to get saved. You don't even need to see your pastor to get saved. You don't need, I say, to go to church to get saved. One man got saved in a chariot, and today we're going to look at another man that got saved on the Jericho Road, the Damascus Highway, I should say. And as he was journeying there, God spoke to him and convicted him of his sin, and he was gloriously saved on this Damascus Highway. Another man was the name of Zacchaeus. He was up a tree, a sycamore tree at that, and God saved him. Another man was seated by the side of the road. Now, salvation is a gift from God, the grace of God that bringeth salvation to all men, as appeared unto you. And by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we read about this man as he was journeying in his chariot, and how the evangelist joined him and brought before him what Christ has done for his salvation, how he was put to death instead of him. And the first thing the man did, he opened his mouth in a true confession. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. And he opened his mouth in confession and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the word of God says in the 5th chapter of 1 John, whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the eunuch says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he was saved, because the Bible says he was saved. And that's sufficient for me. And then he was an obedient child. He went down into the waters of baptism. Baptism is an act of obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. It's the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And more so, it's a symbol of death, burial, and resurrection. Every true believer should be baptized. And we find out that the Lord took the preacher away, so he couldn't trust in the preacher. But the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, and this eunuch was in Christ, and he was a new creation, and he went the rest of the journey rejoicing. Rejoicing in his sins forgiven, and the peace that passes all understanding. Now today we are looking at a strange character, and we read that Saul breathes out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Now here is a man, and he's breathing out threatenings and slaughter against every truly Christian, every truly born-again person. And not only so, but he has desired letters of Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any in this way that was on the way to heaven, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now he had the badge of authority that he could bring these people bound to Jerusalem and have them put to death. In fact, if you read chapter 7, you'll find out that he's had Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, stoned to death. And this young man, Saul of Tarsus, held the clothes as he gave the consent to have him stoned. But there's one thing I believe I'm safe in saying, that he saw many people die, but he never saw a man die like Stephen. When Stephen, this man of God, the first martyr after the resurrection of Christ to die, when he saw that man die and the stones cutting through his skin and through his flesh, there was an honor of conviction went right through him and rested in his soul, and he couldn't get over it. When the stones, I say, was cutting through his flesh and skin, Stephen's face was shining like the face of an angel. No scorn upon him, no hatred, no envy. And then he prayed as he looked up towards heaven, and heaven was opened. My, it's a wonderful thing when heaven's open to you. What a sad thing to die when heaven's closed and the clouds are black around you. But heaven was opened and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And he prayed, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And that must have went as an arrow to this man's soul. And here we find you right after the death of Stephen, he's journeying with his followers on the Damascus Road. And as he's journeying on the Damascus Road, we find out that God spoke to him in no uncertain sound, for we read that a light from heaven shone round about him. Now the Lord Jesus is the light of the world. And this light from heaven was none short but the Lord Jesus. And he was so much convicted of his sin that he fell to the earth. And he heard a voice, but he saw no man. And I can almost see Saul of Tarsus as he fell to the ground crying out, what must I do to be saved? I need salvation. But the language he uses is different. He says, who art thou, Lord? He didn't know him as Lord. He was persecuting those that believed in him. He had put just Stephen to death because he believed and called him Lord. Lord, lay not this sin to thy charge. Now we find out that he is calling him Lord. And as he's there on the Damascus road, convicted of his sin, he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the voice came to him, "It's Jesus that you're persecuting. It's not these saints at all. The Lord Jesus." And there and then on the Damascus road, this persecutor, he was gloriously saved. That's what salvation will do. He repented of his sin, because repentance is changing your mind. He didn't believe that Christ was Lord of glory. He thought he was an imposter. But now we find as he falls on the Damascus road, he calls him Lord, just the same as Stephen did and just the same as the eunuch did in chapter 8. He says, "Lord." And no man can call him Lord but by the Spirit of God. And so we find that this man not only repented of his sin, but he turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and received him as Lord of all. What a glorious case of salvation. When you look at Saul of Tarsus, not only his name was changed to the Apostle Paul, but his whole life was changed. And God says, "I'm going to show this man how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And anyone that knows the story of the Apostle Paul had to suffer most of his life. For over 30 years, he was bound by chains in jail. Not as a jailbird, but as one that was suffering for Christ's sake. And you can see this lovely man as he's there on the Damascus road. And when God saved him and the salvation of God reached him, the first thing he says, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" He had said as a Pharisee long prayers before this. But there's no long prayers now. You'll notice it's just a short prayer, and God says, "Behold, he prayeth." And the Lord says, "Go you two into Damascus, and go to the street which is called Straight, and dwell there. And it shall be told thee what thou shalt do." And he went there, and God sent the preacher along, and he told him the path that God had laid out for him. Now, there's two things you see in connection with this chapter here, that when he came, he was blind spiritually. But you'll notice that God opened his eyes on the Damascus road. That was his spiritual eyes, to understand that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He believed on him, he took him as his Savior, and he confessed him with his mouth as Lord. But then he was physically blind for 3 days. And you remember when the preacher went to see him, he says, "God has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight." And you'll notice he has got a new relationship, brother Saul. Not Saul of Tarsus anymore, brother Paul now. And he says, "The Lord, even Jesus, that met with you in the way, has sent me that thou shalt receive thy sight." He didn't believe that Jesus was a true Messiah, but now this one that he persecuted, and this one that he persecuted his followers of, Saul, his name is now Paul, his name is changed, God changes our name. When we get saved, we become a Christian, a Christ one. Our name is changed and linked with the Lord Jesus. And so we find that the Apostle Paul here was gloriously saved, and he starts on the narrow road to heaven through simple faith in Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. Now you've got a man here starting out threatening and slaughter against the people of God, saved in a moment's notice. I trust that you will believe on the Lord Jesus right now. Take him as your personal Savior. You do like the Apostle Paul and do like the eunuch. Confess him boldly with your mouth. Tell others about it. For if thou shalt confess Jesus as Lord with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do it right now. Father, we thank thee in his name. Amen.